SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
It's the good, the bad, the dumb as it returns on SB Nation Radio as Ron Culver is now back from vacation. All right,
right.
So let's get to the good, my friend.
The good of the day is the good with a little bit of bad to it.
Oh.
Because now I do have to subscribe to ESPN Plus.
I have been toying with this idea too, so help me out. Help me with my decision.
I saw a preview, a little snippet, if you will, of a new show that's going to be airing only exclusively on ESPN Plus and probably bootlegged onto YouTube somehow. But it's called Peyton's Place.
Right. Peyton Manning's doing some stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, this is like in celebration of the 100-year anniversary, he is going to different NFL teams, the cities around the globe or country, and interviewing people, showing past highlights, you know, maybe visiting old stadiums. And it just looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Like that. The snippet I saw.
He's great at that.
The snippet I saw was him with him talking about the Bears with two of the guys, the two surviving members of the Bears.
Oh, no kidding. Really?
So you saw George Wendt. I can't remember who the other guy was. I know one of them was Chris Farley, but obviously he's not in it anymore.
Right.
But then that third guy. But George Wendt was, you know, and they're dressed as, you know, their characters that they used to portray on Saturday Night Live. And they were just, they were full on in character talking about the Bears and the history of Chicago. And I just, I don't know, I'm just in awe by it. I'm just looking at it like, oh my God. And then I saw a still shot of him wearing the fur coat standing next to Joe Namath. And I'm like, I need to see that conversation.
Joe Namath is a trip, man. Joe Namath is very, very open.
But like,
don't you
need to see Peyton Manning talking, interviewing one-on-one with Joe Namath and just talking about, you know, even if they're just talking about breaking down Super Bowl III.
Right.
I need to see that. And that's why it's good. I want to see the show, but it's bad now because I got to subscribe to ESPN Plus.
Okay. That's good. That's true. I've been toying with that idea too. But we've always said this about Manning.
This might put you over the edge now that this is what we wanted. I know what you were going to say. This is what we've been talking about.
We've been talking about Manning. Like, we've been talking about Manning in this kind of role for a long period of time. And this is one of the things about Manning when he said no to the Monday Night Football booth. I think he realizes that, and I think he wants to play out his options slowly. Right? I mean, I think he understands that, listen, this is something I can do. I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from people on things I have done in this capacity. And I think he's playing it out. Monday Night Football booth is cool, but I think Manning is looking at other things. Like, I can do a lot of things in this business.
All right, so here's some of the things that if you were to subscribe to ESPN Plus and you get to watch on Peyton's Place. Peyton and Joe Namath rewatched the coaching film from Super Bowl III during a game of pool.
Oh.
While eating crabs in Baltimore, Ray Lewis and Peyton discussed the evolution of NFL defenses.
That would be very interesting.
Peyton and his brother Eli visit the kitchen where the Lombardi Trophy was created from a box of cornflakes.
No, thank you. I don't want to see Peyton and Eli together.
How about this one? Peyton tries to solve the mystery of the Immaculate Reception by recreating the play with help from Terry Bradshaw, Franco Harris, and others.
Okay, first of all, as a Steeler fan, can I tell you something? You cannot have that conversation at all without Frenchie Fauqua. You cannot have that conversation. He says, I don't even know if he's still alive. But if he's still alive, he's the only one who's, because he says he knows whether or not that ball hit Jack Tatum or not.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so there, my God, I keep getting this wrong all the time because it's before my time. And so if you want to help me out on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, if you know this better than me, there was a rule at the time, and I'm going to look this up. If the ball hit a defending player, right? Like, so Bradshaw's pass, if it hit Tatum, then Franco Harris cannot advance that ball. But if it doesn't hit Tatum, Franco Harris can advance that ball. Frenchie Fauqua says he knows whether or not that hit, and he's not saying anything. He's not saying. So whether or not he catches it off the ground or not is irrelevant. There was actually the advancement of the ball dependent on whether or not it had hit a defender or not. It may be the other way around. It may be...
Just real quick, with regards to that play, is there anyone who does not want that play to exist anymore? Back in the 70s when it first happened, you know, Raider fans would have been exactly like Saints fans.
Oh, yeah, freaking out? Yeah,
freaking
exactly.
Out over. Oh, yeah. But I'm saying now and today, is there anyone still left that's like, you know what? I really wish they reversed that play.
Oh, no doubt.
I don't think so either.
That's one of the most iconic plays in sports. I mean, it's whether you're a Steeler fan or not. I mean, listen, I'm a Steeler fan, but this was before my time. I mean, it was like in 72. I mean, my God, this is way before my time. But nevertheless, it's one of the most iconic plays in the history of the game. And I'm sure Raider fans get ticked off at it. And like the older Raider fans that remember it and felt the effect of it. But, you know, the Steelers didn't go to the Super Bowl that year. The Dolphins won the Super Bowl. But yeah, I would love that episode, especially if Frenchie Faulkwa is a part of it, because again, this is when my old Myron Cope was the announcer for the Steelers, the guy who invented the terrible towel, and he went crazy. Good stuff. All right, I want ESPN Plus. Yep. All right, so we got to get to the bad.
The
now.
Bad of the day is that some people can't just mind their own business. Neighbors called the cops on an 11-year-old kid selling ice cold beer instead of that played out lemonade stand.
Tell me, please tell me how this went. tell me more about this one.
Okay. I'm gonna do it as a news report. Dateline Brigham City, Utah, because of course it's in Utah.
Oh, it's in Utah, no less.
Brigham City, Utah. Some neighbors spotted this kid who was holding up a sign with big bold letters, "Ice cold beer." Decided to call the cops on him. When the cops showed up, they realized it's all marketing ploy, because just above beer, he does have in small little letters, "Root."
Oh, I gotcha. Okay, that's cute. That's really cute.
So he was not doing anything illegal. He was just selling ice cold root beer.
That's awesome.
When I saw root, I'm not going to lie to you, there was a part of me that was disappointed. I don't know what that says about me.
God, that is great. You know,
I wanted an 11-year-old in Utah just to be standing on the side of the road in a richy, rich neighborhood selling beer.
That's fantastic. That's great.
You know, I don't know if it gets hot in Utah. I'm not really sure, but I imagine it does.
You ever do the old lemonade stand when you were a kid?
When I was a kid, yeah.
I didn't live in a very populous area to do a lemonade stand. If I did a lemonade stand in the little town where I grew up in, I might have gotten one customer. Like maybe my father coming home from work. That was about it.
My kids even done. They take their talents to the corner.
And, oh, yeah.
You know what? I got to hand it to my 8-year-old. He's desperate for always making money. Somehow, some way, I'm not really entirely sure how, a stack of phone books was dropped off in our driveway.
Oh.
And which I was surprised they even made them.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
But it wasn't like, you know, each house usually gets phone books. For some reason, we got a stack of them, and he went door to door trying to sell them.
Very good. Good for
him. I was so proud. I'm like,
how much was a phone book in your neighborhood?
I don't know. I think he was just. I mean, he probably went with a dollar first, and then pretty much just ended up with, "Hey, I'll take anything."
Yeah.
Long story short, there's a whole bunch of phone books in my garage.
Gotcha. Remember when? I don't know if this happened with your kids, but remember when a dollar to your kid was $1 million?
Oh, well, it's
and
my,
you, could,
it's,
you could get
that's
them.
That's my 2-year-old right now. He holds up a quarter and goes, "I got $2." I'm like, "Yeah, yes, you do."
I used to love this. When my kid was just little, I could get him to do anything that I needed him to do for a dollar.
Yeah,
he thought a dollar was he could buy every toy in the supermarket or the toy store for a dollar.
Yep. Now I'm in an age where I have an 8-year-old and 11-year-old. They think $10 is nothing.
Oh, I know. Now, oh, God.
Like, you have $10? And I'm like,
somehow
yeah.
They reach that point where they know. Like, somehow they go from a dollar is $1 million to $20 isn't worth my time. Like, exactly. There's no transition. It's not like you can go from 1 to 2 to 5. Somewhere along the line, they go from I can't wait, I got a dollar to $20. I think I can get a little bit more for that from the neighbor if you want me to mow the lawn.
My wife and I are talking chores with them, saying, "Hey, if you guys do this, you know, we'll give you a dollar, you know, or we'll at the end of the week, we'll pay you your age and money, right? Which is a lot more than I ever got. Maybe we're coming in a little cheap. And my 8-year-old's like, that's not fair. I'm only getting $8. Why can't I get 10?
That's right.
I need $10 a week. And he's already negotiating, yet he won't do any of the chores that we ask him to do. It's like, yeah, such a disconnect.
That's funny, the root beer story. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, and this is this borderline's scary. A physicist in Eastern Tennessee is trying to open a portal to an alternate universe, which sounds cool, obviously. But
that sounds like a lot of moonshine's been drunk out of there.
But the other thing is that she clearly has never seen a movie ever.
Don't open up the portal.
Don't open up a portal to an alternate universe. Have you not
watched? What do you think is going to happen?
I mean, you know, movies, TV shows have never painted a picture of, hey, we opened up this portal and look, we're able to go see Granddad when he was younger. We're able to see the other us and have a great time. Nothing, even cartoons always show a bad time when you open a portal.
When you open up a portal, you're right. There's never, on the other end is never the cure for cancer or never like world peace or never, and it's nothing.
There's no utopia on the other side of a portal. It's always danger and chaos.
That portal is closed for a reason. Don't open it. Do not open it.
So anyways, we got Eastern Tennessee physicists trying to open it up.
Well done. My God. Like I said, a lot of moonshine.
Probably.
Trying to open up a portal.
But she, you know,
let us know when it's open so we all can duck for cover when you release the alien monsters. Fantastic.
I just feel like, you know, she's watched way too, maybe she's watched too many Stranger Things and thinks, I can do that.
Yeah, I can
and
actually
I can
have...
control the demagogue or whatever it is.
Yep, the demigordon.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Well done.
She can control it.
All right. Welcome back, Ron Culver. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb. It is a Monday morning, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.